Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And we'll talk about the news. What a big news day and news week. It's dramatic, all the things that have been happening in America and in the world. And if you're out there, Robert, from yesterday, feel free to call in. Our phone number here, 800-8-ENYART. We'll talk about Samuel Alito being confirmed as the latest U.S. Supreme Court justice. And another postal worker has murdered five coworkers and then committed suicide in California. And then Coretta Scott King died last night. And a Hamas elected in Israel, a terrorist government. And what else? What else has been in the news? Christian leaders are forging an ever deeper separation of church and state. So that's not liberals, not atheists, but our Christian leaders, by an absolute commitment to secularism, are forging an ever deep commitment, ever deepening commitment to the separation of church and state, where judges are approved of even when they violate thou shalt not murder. So we'll talk about that. And our phone, so Robert, if you're out there, please call in 800-836-9278 or a Robert lookalike. That would work also. If anybody heard Robert's call, we ran out of time. And Bob and you're live here in Colorado, we only have a half hour every day. And that's one of the main reasons we don't even take commercial breaks, because it's so urgent that we get the information, the content of the show. Biblically, what does the Bible teach us about right and wrong, morality, public policy, governmental issues, criminal justice, creation, all these crucial issues, marriage, church. And so it's our goal to get as much of that content across as possible. So since we have a very brief show, now our telethon begins tomorrow, Wednesday, February 1st. And so it's especially painful for me those times when we have to focus on raising some money. But when Bob and Your Live begins in Iowa in about a week, Des Moines, Iowa, Ames, Iowa, on a couple of radio affiliates out there, then we're going to have an hour on that show. And just like you could listen to Bob and Your Live streamed over the internet live anywhere in the country or the world if you have a good internet connection, then you'll be able to do that also with our Iowa program, which will be a separate program, but it'll be a full hour. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right. So Robert, again, if you're out there, or a Robert lookalike, 800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so Judge Samuel Alito has been confirmed, and we have the Christian leaders in America. I really doubt, after lobbying so hard for his confirmation, I doubt that they had much of a heartfelt celebration when he was confirmed. They probably high-fived one another in their executive offices, but I doubt that they really had a heartfelt celebration, because this is a judge who has given us the most horrendous, egregious, extremist pro-abortion rulings of the last decade. Judge Samuel Alito has, and we have gone over those decisions on this program, and they're undisputable. You can't dispute that he has ruled in a very extremist pro-abortion way when he even votes to keep legal partial birth abortion in the year 2000 as a federal judge. But we see our Christian leaders have aggressively lobbied, most of them, the ones who are politically active, to get him confirmed. And they have gone so far as to defend his decisions, his pro-abortion decisions. They've defended those decisions as exactly what a good judge should do. And there is a family in Texas who's received another letter from Focus on the Family. Now, we have on our website at kgov.com a letter on Focus letterhead to one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, and that letter is defending James Dobson abandoning his pledge to never again support a politician, to vote for a politician, support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child. So James Dobson has abandoned that pledge, and now this letter to this family in Texas goes further and is very explicit as to why they are defending a judge, in this case, policies, judicial philosophy, candidates, judges, who vote to kill unborn children. And they say the reason we do that, now we're getting this letter. The letter is we should have it in our offices next week, and we'll most likely scan it and put it online. But it's very explicit, and Focus on the Family says that we cannot criticize Samuel Alito, for example, for voting to keep legal partial birth abortion, because then we would be hypocrites, because what we are calling for are judges who are strict constructionists, and they're not activist judges. And so the Constitution, as a federal judge, Samuel Alito is subordinate to the U.S. Supreme Court, and since he's not an activist judge, we want him to follow precedent. So he's doing what we are telling him that we want him to do. So we have to approve of him, because otherwise we would be hypocrites. And, you know, that's true. But here's the problem. Focus on the Family. And we'll get to Gil from Greeley, Colorado in just a moment. Focus on the Family has opposing commitments. They have commitments to Jesus Christ and to God's principles of right and wrong and to thou shalt not murder. Presumably, that's why they're pro-life. And then they have commitments to America's political process and our man-made laws. And when they approve of Samuel Alito up voting to keep legal partial birth abortion, they are being true to their commitment to man's law. They're not being hypocritical when you look at their commitment to the Constitution. But when you look at their commitment to God, they are being hypocritical. When you look at their commitment to be pro-life Christians, they're being hypocritical. So you're either going to be a hypocrite toward the process, or you're going to be a hypocrite toward thou shalt not murder. And Focus on the Family, for political reasons, has chosen to be hypocrites toward thou shalt not murder, but to comply with the process. Now let's go to Greeley in Greeley, Colorado. Gil, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Do you know Chuck and Larry Bates?
Yes, they're on in Colorado right before Bob and Yurt Live on KLTT.
Yes, sir. And I mentioned that you had done extensive research into Alito's past decade rulings, and that he supported partial birth abortion, and they said that you didn't quite have it right.
And that's too bad, isn't it?
That is too bad, because I'm pretty sure you got it right on.
Well, not only that, at our website, kgov.com, you could just look at our report card, the Samuel Alito KGov report card, and it lists the year of the decision, what the decision was, and it links to his own opinion.
Yeah, that's why I believe it.
Well, and so in 2000, Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion for process reasons. He was following precedent.
Uh-huh.
It's a case, Planned Parenthood versus New Jersey. And at kgov.com, you just click to that. In fact, I'm going to do it right now.
Okay.
I'm going to click on that. Planned Parenthood versus New Jersey is clickable.
Okay.
You could click on it. And here we have the case filed July 26, 2000, United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, and Planned Parenthood of Central New Jersey et al., there's others mentioned, versus the Attorney General of the State of New Jersey, John Farmer Jr. and it was argued November 19th, 1999, before Alito, Barry, and Garth. And they are Third Circuit judges. And that Alito is Samuel Alito.
Yeah.
And the opinion was filed July 26, 2000. And then you could go on to read. And, well, I'll read part of it for you. The majority opinion which follows, which Alito signed, he concurred in, was in final form before the Supreme Court of the United States heard argument. The Supreme Court has now issued its opinion in that case, finding Nebraska's partial birth abortion statute, a statute nearly identical to the one before this court, unconstitutional, because nothing in that opinion is at odds with this court's opinion, because in many respects that opinion confirms and supports this court's conclusion. We see no reason we issue this opinion without change, and they upheld the legality of partial birth abortion.
Yeah.
So, you know, normally you don't like to read that level of, you know, legalese on the radio.
Yes.
But it's unexcusable. Now, for Chuck and Larry Bates, their program, what is it, Unlocking the New World Order?
Yeah.
For them to say, you know what, Samuel Alito did vote to keep legal partial birth abortion, but we defend that decision because we are legal positivists, and we think his commitment to man's law should exceed his commitment to thou shalt not murder.
Oh.
Now, if they were to say that, at least they would be informed, and they'd be making an argument that is a bad argument.
Uh-huh.
But for them to say, no, Alito never voted to keep legal partial birth abortion?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's we're in a phase of Christian history known as the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right, Gil.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. I appreciate the call. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. You know, what's happened at Bob and Yurt Live, we have for a long time warned our audience about the dangers of representative republics when the majority has the ability to influence the government, because the majority is evil. And Jesus said that men are basically sinners. They're not basically good. And the voice of the people is not the voice of God. And many who support our form of government, they strongly defend the idea of a representative republic. So the will of the people eventually works itself into government policy, because the people vote for representatives. And if they don't like the Constitution, they amend the Constitution through their representatives. And basically, it's either democracy or representative republic. Those are, you know, our conservative Christian leaders. They typically will defend one or the other of those, and those are destructive. It's destructive. It's dangerous because the people are not basically good. They're basically sinners. And also because those who love God, those who care about right and wrong, don't necessarily have a strong enough commitment to God's word to overcome the competitive desire to battle against the libs, the Democrats. And so we have Christian leaders who sit down in front of C-SPAN with popcorn to watch a Senate hearing as though they're watching an NFL playoff game. And how do you separate? How do you know? You know, the Bible says, ask God to search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And how do you, the heart is exceedingly deceptive above all else. And how do you know that your battle to get another Republican victory, how do you know that that's a battle for right and wrong versus simply a competitive spirit because it's your team that's in the playoffs? How do you figure that out? And so Hamas, there is a people, a Palestinian people, they elected a terrorist government. And we've been warning for ages here at Bob and Yurt Live that that's what, you know, when you promote democracy, then you're going to have people electing evil governments. All right. Now, we do have Robert back on the line. I'm so thankful. Robert, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling back in.
Sure, that's no problem.
All right. Robert, I wanted to press you on some of these issues.
Okay.
And see if we could stay focused.
All righty.
Because it's easy to jump all over the map and never resolve anything.
Okay, go ahead.
So I want to talk to you because you seem to be defending our Christian leader's position on Samuel Alito.
Well, I just come from my own standpoint, and that is I don't have time to do political research like maybe you do.
Yeah, I agree with that, Robert, but that's a different issue, right? We're talking about principles.
Well, no, I'm talking about walking into the ballot booth.
Robert, you're changing the topic. We didn't even get started. I want to talk to you about Samuel Alito.
Okay, let's go from there.
We could talk about the dynamics and the difficulties of democracy, but that's a related but different topic.
Well, okay. That's the one that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, how about we start there? Okay, so you agree that when a person goes into a voting booth, they really have very little information to work with because they have a life and a job. You agree with that?
Exactly.
Right. And therefore, what we've been saying on Bob and Your Life for many years is that democracy is inherently destabilizing. It's a bad form of government because people don't have the information, they don't have the wisdom, and they don't have the righteousness in order to steer their country, let alone their precinct.
Well, my righteousness has been a gift given to me by God.
Yeah, of course. Right.
As far as the country, I would say the country, by majority, is probably unrighteous.
Right. Jesus said that the majority are going to hell.
Right.
And so if it's majority rule, you could pretty much count on the decision of the majority to be uninformed regarding right and wrong. People don't know right from wrong.
That's correct.
And that's why so many millions, a majority, approve of Bill Clinton. You know, he's a lying fornicator. And by approving of him, they feel better about themselves. So democracy, so you and I agree, democracy has extraordinary pitfalls.
Yes.
But now, could we talk about our Christian leaders regarding Samuel Alito?
Sure.
Because your opinion is one of many, but you're probably a good representative of a conservative Christian.
Okay.
All right, Samuel Alito, let me ask you this. In the past 10 years, do you know if he has issued a number of very extremist pro-abortion rulings?
According to what you've said on your program, he has, yeah.
But you don't know for sure.
I mean, I wasn't there. No, I just go by what...
Robert, you don't have to be there to know. People could look up to see. In fact, we put it all in one simple report card. And in 2000, Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion.
I guess part of the problem is I just don't feel called to that. I don't feel like that's the...
Robert, if that were the case, you should not have called in to express an opinion on it, and you shouldn't be defending our national Christian leaders for their stand on Alito if you don't know, because we're talking about matters of life and death, murdering the innocent.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know, but you just call in with a gut feeling like, Bob, why don't you stop complaining? That's not a responsible Christian position you've taken.
Well, maybe not, but when I sit here and I listen to your program sometimes, I get a little irritated that nobody calls in and asks you any pointed questions. Like yesterday, my main question was, well, what candidate do you have? And you said, well, I would have went with this attorney that I know. And I said, was that guy even standing in line in the selection?
Of course he could have been. He was a U.S. attorney appointed by Reagan and reappointed by Bush. So of course he could have been. But, Robert, my point to you was that's beside the point. If I couldn't come up with a name right off the top of my head, you should not use that as justification for supporting a judge who votes to keep abortion legal. You should focus, you should narrow in on the issue regarding right and wrong. Especially since you don't have time to know everything about everyone, you could be an expert on right and wrong. You could be, if you want to be. And you could say, thou shalt not murder is a principle that no one should violate. And if anyone does violate thou shalt not murder intentionally, by policy, we should oppose that person. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, now, if Samuel Alito...
Wait a minute. Now let me interject a point right there. When the two candidates and choices are two people.
We're talking about Alito.
Okay.
I don't think
we could go back.
I
boxed myself in by mentioning Alito here.
No. Well, that's the topic of the last month.
Okay.
But Robert, we could go back to democracy again, but why don't we stick with Alito for a moment?
Okay.
You just said this is an absolute principle that no one should violate thou shalt not murder.
That's exactly right.
Now, what if a judge does violate thou shalt not murder? What if he rules for some process reason? He's following some man-made procedure, and so he rules that you can kill an innocent Jew or you can kill an innocent child. Should that judge be affirmed? Should we approve of what he's done?
No.
Now, if Samuel Alito has voted to keep legal partial birth abortion and a half dozen other horrendous abortion rulings, if he has, and our Christian leaders support him anyway, what is your analysis of that? And they know he's ruled that way. They know, like Gary Bauer he put in writing that Judge Alito, when he concurred to keep partial birth abortion legal, that he did exactly what a good judge should do. That's Gary Bauer. You know that name probably.
Yes, I know.
Good friend of James Dobson.
Right.
So these, our Christian leaders are saying, look, here's a judge who has voted to keep legal even partial birth abortion, but he did what we expect a good judge should do. Now, how do you analyze the moral position of our Christian leaders who take that position?
By this, I think we have to go back to that we're not the majority in this country.
Okay, so you're looking to find a way to approve of them approving of a judge who keeps legal partial birth abortion.
If I was in their shoes, which I don't really believe that I am, I would look around the America, and I would determine, you know, do we have the strength to bring up this, like this attorney that you.
Whoever.
I don't know his name, but the attorney that you mentioned, yes.
And if we don't, let's assume we as conservative Christians, we cannot get a single judge nominated to the Supreme Court who says, I will not murder. We can't get one. And so we got Samuel Alito and our Christian leaders say we're going to support him, even though he voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. So now go ahead. You're trying to justify that. So go ahead.
I guess the question is, so does the Christians, we don't get to vote on it in any way, shape, or form, period, right?
No, that's not true. For one, you call into a radio show, our Christian leaders lobby senators, and we all have a sphere of influence. And you're using your sphere of influence right now. And if you continue down the path you're going, Robert, you have to back up and say, my earlier answer about thou shalt not murder was wrong. I need to change it. Because earlier I said we need to have an absolute commitment to thou shalt not murder. And any governing official who will murder by policy, we need to oppose. You say, you know what? I'm going to change that because our political considerations will supersede thou shalt not murder. And I would sort of side with our Christian leaders for putting political considerations above killing the innocent.
It's, you know, to me, I'd like to use this analogy, and I know you're not going to like this, but let's say you go to, you have a broken down car, and you need to buy a car, and you don't really care whether it's a Chevy or a Ford. So you go to two dealerships, and you know these guys possibly are going to be dishonest.
Yeah, right.
And boost up the cost of the car.
But you get the best deal.
You know what you have to do? You have to make the best.
You get the best deal you can.
You're trading in the
Robert,
world market.
You're right. That's right. We're not in heaven. Human beings are sinful. That's right. And if you go to one dealer and they say, I'll give you this great car at half price, but you have to kill that 4-year-old girl over there.
No.
Now, why not?
Oh, well, if it came down to that, absolutely, I would pay the higher price at the other car lot.
Because?
Even though it's just as despicable also.
Robert, because thou shalt not murder, that you should not intentionally kill the innocent, is an absolute principle that no Christian has the authority to ignore. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what do you think when Christians ignore thou shalt not murder, when they set it aside for political considerations, should we approve of that or should we rebuke that?
Well, surely we should rebuke it.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to stand with me and rebuke our Christian leaders who set aside thou shalt not murder for political considerations.
Okay, fine.
And when a judge says it's legal to commit partial birth abortion for process reasons, we shouldn't defend that judge. We should criticize that judge.
So maybe what they were asking and what I was trying to dialogue with you about is more in the realm of the ballot booth. The names are already on the ballot, and yeah, which candidate do you pick?
Yeah, okay. Now let's talk about that.
I think that's where I was more coming from.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So Jesus, if Jesus were told, okay, you have to pick A or B.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a wise man.
Right.
And a wise man will often choose C because he's not going to let other people define his morality. So if two evil people, now everyone's a sinner. I'm not saying you're going to find a perfectly righteous leader.
Okay.
But if two people who both support the killing of the innocent are vying for power,
uh-huh,
only a fool thinks he has to side with one or the other. You need to find someone who says, I'm against killing the innocent.
You mean morally across the board, the guys on the ballot are exactly the same?
No. Did I say that?
It sounds
Robert,
like it.
No, I think you're trying not to pay attention.
No,
I said
I'm not
if you
trying.
Have two candidates. All right, if you have two candidates
okay,
and they are both committed policy wise to killing the innocent, and you're said, okay, who are you going to vote for? Kudos or Kodos? You say, you know what? I'm not a fool. When people tell me I have to choose A or B, I can choose C. And if we said to Jesus, all right, Jesus, you got to choose either Judas or Herod, who are you going to choose? Because one or the other is going to be our leader. Jesus would say, you know what? Don't do evil, that good might come of it. But it sounds like, Robert, you're teetering on the edge of saying my political considerations will take precedent over my commitment to thou shalt not murder.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Good. Think through that and ask God to help you to be strong. And for the little bit of time you have, use it to determine whether a candidate or a ruling or a law violates thou shalt not murder. And if they do, oppose them. All right?
Okay.
Thank you, Robert.
All right.
God bless you. I appreciate you calling back in. All right. Hey, it's a battle, but we conservative Christians, we need to start all over. Start with the milk. Forget about the meat. Start with the milk. Teach Christians that we need to do what's right, not do what's wrong. And thou shalt not murder is a good place to start, because if you compromise there, you'll compromise everywhere. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out. Maranatha at 72nd and Oak, and that's where Denver Bible Church meets. So come and join us Sunday morning or Sunday evening at Denver Bible Church.